Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, nothing to see here. Nothing going on here. Noah Brown. Yeah, we got this. Nope, we're not going to put him on IR. No, we got this. We got it covered. 259 and change, Team 980. More on this, more on the wide receiver group mess next on the Team 980. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Come on, come and join us. I mean, I kind of asked for it, didn't I? All right, welcome back. I mentioned earlier in the show the Wizards are at Oklahoma City tonight, and that's true. The Thunder are 5-0, and good luck to the Wiz. You can hear the game on 106.7 The Fan, I think at 8:15 for the pregame. Bilal Coulibaly is back for the first time in forever. Remember, he like annually misses the last 2 months of the season. I'm sort of joking. He has in both of his NBA years so far. And he is coming back tonight. He's missed the first, five games of the year because of the hand surgery. So that's good. Boy, do they need it, because they suck defensively usually with him. They really suck without him. Boy, do they need that. All right, coming up. An hour from now, Burgundy and Gold Today. Linnell Willingham, he will take you through. So I just read you the quote from Dan Quinn. When asked, I forget what reporter asked him, about adding a veteran receiver. He said, no, we're comfortable with where we're at. We're comfortable where we are at. Exact quote. Like we said, this is not something, meaning Terry, that's going to be a thing that's going to knock him out for a long time. We hope. So no, we're very comfortable with where we're at. And I just wonder, how in the world could you be so comfortable? DQ, I love you. I faced the adversity of all the Ben Johnsonites. I stood on a table for you. I wanted you so badly to get the job. And I looked like a genius last year. This quote is really disappointing. I gotta be honest. And it's concerning if DQ is not just saying that just to say it because he didn't have a better answer and he wasn't prepared to answer a question about perhaps adding a veteran receiver. This might be the most disappointing answer of the Dan Quinn era. And you might think, oh, that's hyperbole. What are you talking about? Find me another one. That's more disappointing than that. They're fine? We're comfortable? This is not something that's going to be a thing that's going to knock him out for a long time? Well, what does that mean? Is that 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? What does that mean? They're not putting him on IR yet. So they must think that it's less than 4 weeks, and maybe it's next week. But again, to rule him out on Wednesday is a little concerning. Now, last week they did the same thing with Jaden Daniels. So for everybody making that comparison, fine. Please tell me you understand there's a difference between the starting quarterback and the receiver. Right? Even the number one receiver. You know there's a difference. Right? You know that, right? I hope you know that. So it's not the same thing. And this is an organization that thought Terry McLaurin, like, they never really said it, but their actions said it, was going to be back in a week or two after the first injury. And it took him 4.5 weeks to get back. Half week, Vegas, Atlanta, Chargers, Chicago, Dallas. Yeah, well, 4.5 games. So actually more than 4.5 weeks. 4.5 games to get back for him to play a great first half or to have a great moment near the end of the first half, have another great catch, and then he gets re-injured. This is an organization that kept Noah Brown off of IR with his incredible, decorated injury history. Brought him back to practice for 2 days and then had to put him on IR and knocked him out for another 4 days. We're not going to miss a step, they say. We're going to turn over every stone. We're not going to miss a step. What are we doing here? Really? We're comfortable where we're at? Huh? Let me read it to you again, just in case you need it again. This is not something that's going to be a thing that's going to knock him out for a long time. We hope. Hope. Not we know, we hope. So no, we're very comfortable with where we're at. Really? Very comfortable. Again, I think that's the worst quote of the Dan Quinn era. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe they believe that. I can't imagine how anybody could look in the mirror and say, nope, we got this. Debo's banged up. Jalen Lane is a mess. Luke, try hard, but he's not a number one, probably a number two. He's a number three. Make some plays for you, but not enough. Chris Moore drops everything, but he gets open. Robbie Chosen Anderson. You chose him, then you didn't choose him, then you chose to release him, then you chose to bring him back. Michael Gallup and KJ Osborne are bagging groceries. You had them over the offseason and into camp. You let De'Ami Brown, you let Olamide Zaccheaus, you let Jamison Crowder go to bring in, yes, Deebo Samuel. Did I mention Deebo's banged up? Yep. You let them all go to bring in Deebo Samuel to draft Jalen Lane and to bring in what? Was Chris Moore here last year on the practice? I can't even remember. Michael Gallup? How did that work out? To bring back KJ Osborne, who couldn't even get into the lineup last year? It was like one game he played out of 9 or 8 regular season and postseason. One game. What an absolute joke right now this wide receiver group is and room is. I'm so disappointed in Dan Quinn for that. Not for the fact that they're 3-5. Not for the fact that their defense is clearly not good enough, not even close to being good enough. Not for the regression. But if he's being honest, and if they have evaluated the wide receiver group right now and said, nope, nothing to see here, we're good. Wow, we've got a major problem. We've got a major problem. All right, let's go to Lap, see what he thinks. He's been on hold forever. Lap, sorry about that. How are you?
What's up? What's up, Rooster?
What's going on, Lap?
Bro.
Yeah, thanks for making it.
I'm not really sold on them with the receiving core. I told you I was disgusted with De'Ami Brown and Zacchaeus being gone. We should have kept those guys. I mean, you keep what's working, you know, in-house first. And then if you want to explore and go get a Debo or something, you do that stuff later. Everybody knows Debo's always hurt. And I told everybody, like, his usage rate, you keep using. That's how it was Curtis Samuel. Those guys are good, but I want other guys to do that. We could have probably used Lang or Luke, get him involved. Let him do some of those trick plays and stuff like that. But Debo, I just really wanted him to strictly be a wideout. And I think when you have that, I think that's a big reason why he's always hurt, because his usage rate. Now, he is phenomenal. He's talented, but he does no good if he's not on the field, Rooster. So, or he's dealing with a lingering injury. The whole Terry thing and Noah, they didn't handle that very well, even from training camp. Just didn't handle it well. I would say if we can get Jamison Crowder or I don't think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to get traded. I think they're going to keep him, but I would inquire about him because he's really not getting any targets that much out there like he was last year. So
had a lot of drops so far this year. Had a lot of drops.
Oh, yeah. Definitely got a lot of drops. But, yeah, this is a must-win game, man. This is a must-win game. We got to get this for Ark Monk, but do it for us for some pride.
Hey, man. You know,
we got it.
Lab, I mean, you just brought up something. They freaking need Art Monk to play on Sunday nights.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, we do. We definitely could use Art Monk, primetime Art Monk for sure.
Can you imagine? Do you hear how angry I am? When was the last time I was this angry at Dan Quinn or Adam Peters?
Not a lot, man. You love your coaches, man. That's for sure. I do know that about you.
That's a good one. That's a good one, Lappy. I appreciate that. You're right. Yep. I generally tend to now I don't always agree. I don't always defend, but by and large, yes. But this one pissed me off. I almost drove off the road when I heard him say it yesterday.
Oh yeah, definitely. I want to get through this year, whatever way we go, win, lose, or draw, man. I just want to see Jaden's development, and I really want them to add the necessary pieces around him, because I think he's going to like the lead on fire. If he stays healthy, man, and get that in-game experience, you know, under his belt, you know, be quicker with his decisions, and I think we'll be fine, man. But they got to really build around him, but like I said, it's a pride thing. It's going to be tough for us to make the playoffs, like Lou said. I think, you know, you're saying we're pretty much done. I think it's a realistic chance we might be done, too, especially just how conference record, man. But they're going to have to go on a crazy run, and Jaden can't miss any more games, and he's got to be clicking.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. What I fear more than anything Sunday night is against a very, 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 very talented front, an aggressive front, that they are not going to be able to run the football at all, and Jaden is going to get destroyed with an offensive line that might not have Laremy Tunsil, and he is going to be running for his life, and he is going to tear that hamstring or something else. That is my fear.
Let me tell you this, Rooster. You know why we get mad at coaches so much, especially in this area? We don't have – coach's biggest pet peeve for us is identity. If a coach doesn't know his identity of the team, you know what I'm saying? That's where we have our biggest issue with them. You know what I'm saying? We don't really know what our identity. I guess it's Jaden. I guess it's the run game, but we don't even run that. So that's our biggest issue with the coaches here, having an identity. And
well,
just as you alluded to,
it's not
to,
easy. I mean, it's not easy to create or find an identity. I would say that, right? I would start with that.
But
because they thought their identity was.
The coach has to set the tone.
No, I understand that. But yep. Listen, here's the thing, Lap. They thought until 3 weeks ago that their identity was a run first team, a run heavy team, a run successful team.
Right.
And then poof, it goes away. And it's not like they haven't tried at all. They haven't had any success with it. The natural run game, right? So is that their identity now?
Yeah.
What is their identity? It's not stretching the field vertically, because the only guy that can do that is Terry McLaurin, and he's constantly hurt. It's not Jaden Daniels right now, right this moment, because he's missed 3 out of 8 games, right? So what is it? Is it that they're the oldest team in the NFL? Is it that they're a try-hard team? Is that, you know, like the identity last year, I think, if you had to choose one besides Jaden Daniels, would be that they won close games, right? They were never counted out. Or that there was this figurative term of the brotherhood, which was shoved down our throats, right?
Yeah.
Well, where is the brotherhood this year?
Yeah.
And I asked that last year, and nobody wanted to hear that. Where's the brotherhood this year?
You did. You've been on it, man. You've been calling a lot of things. Yeah, we definitely need our identity and find our brotherhood, because it looks like they're leaning more and banking more on Jaden Daniels. And if you do that and I provide him with what he needs, the resources and everything, you know, you going to have this kid get broken up, man. And we don't want a reoccurrence of the RG3 situation. We don't want that. So they got to figure that out. And hopefully they can do it, whether we make the playoffs now or not. Just we got to improve some kind of way, you know what I'm saying, and adding or getting better or coming up with the identity. But we can't have too many games out there where coaches look like they confused, the team don't know what they're doing. Like, we've seen all of that story before, Rooster. We can't have that with this regime. So I'm gonna give them a couple of years for sure, but they got to show us something and get better.
I got you.
We don't need that to happen again.
I got you. Thank you, Lappy. Appreciate you. Thanks for hanging on so long. 301-230-0980. Again, I can't believe that they've mismanaged this group so much, so long, so bad. Quite honestly, again, maybe it's a little hyperbole. I think this is the worst quote or answer that Dan Quinn has given in a year and a half. And think about it, right? They let Diami Brown go. A lot of you said, no big deal. Now, Diami Brown was inconsistent during the regular season, but one thing you could say, he did have a key fumble in the conference championship. He had a really, really, really good playoff run, right? Alamide Zaccheaus, not special, but useful. Useful. More useful than rookie Jalen Lane? How useful would Alamide Zaccheaus be right now? And again, OZ has his flaws. He dropped what would have been, what could have been a 95-yard touchdown run against his former team. Right? Jamison Crowder's still out there. They brought in, it's not necessarily that they let all of those guys go. It's they chose to keep Noah Brown, who's always hurt, and was always hurt before this year, so you can't say it came out of nowhere, and to keep KJ Osborne, who is washed, can't even get into the lineup. I don't get it. They have butchered the wide receiver position. And now we hope, we think, we might, we maybe, after not putting him on IR the first time, which I didn't really have a problem with, because I would assume if they would have gotten a 4 to 6 week timeline, they would have. So I can't say, Noah Brown, they should have, because we've been down that road. They should have known better. Terry, this time, we think a week or two, maybe three. None of this has worked. None of this has worked at this position group. And by the way, I will say this. I was wrong. While I was worried about the mass exodus, and I mentioned that throughout the offseason, and I mentioned Olamide Zaccheaus during the preseason when he caught a touchdown pass from Caleb Williams, and you all told me I was full of crap and I was making stuff up and I was this and I was an idiot and whatever. I just looked at back at the tweet last night. I looked a bunch of responses. You guys were killing me because I said the Commanders were going to miss him. I was right. You were wrong. But on top of that, they, again, retained Noah Brown. They went out and got Michael Gallup, retained KJ Osborne. Chris Moore, wherever he was, I don't remember when they signed him. I don't know if that was a reserve future. I don't honestly remember. My point being is they mismanaged the injury situation. They mismanaged who they let go of. They mismanaged who they brought in. They're still mismanaging the injury situation. Last week, a couple of weeks ago, they bring in Robbie Chosen Anderson. They can't get him ready to get on the field. Then he finally, so they've got to bring up, like, they got to bring up, what's his name? Oh, from the practice squad. I forget the kid's name. Ja'Cory Brooks and somebody else. Then they bring up Robbie Chosen Anderson the next week. He leads them in catches. Makes a couple of plays, and then they cut him. And then they bring him back. Just a disaster. Just a disaster. Think about it. All right, we got to take a timeout. 301-230-0980. If you want to react to that, go right ahead. I'll clean up the show with some other things, including a look at a very key Thursday night game for both teams and partially for the Commanders. Partially. Coming up next on the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got to take a quick turn here. Final half an hour or so of the show. Liddell Willingham coming up, Burgundy and Gold today. I can't believe more of you are not pissed off. I think some apathy is already setting in, which is bad news for us, about this football team, about this game coming up on Sunday night. I mean, the vision, like, what do they say? At Christmas, 'twas the night before Christmas, right? Visions of sugar plums.
Tis the night?
What?
Is it tis the night?
No, twas the night before Christmas. Yeah, I think.
Okay. Right?
Twas the night? Twas the night before Christmas, I think. But they like visions of sugar plums and whatever in dancing in your head. I have visions of Jaden Daniels running for his life on Sunday night against a very talented front, a deep talented front of the Seattle Seahawks with Mike McDaniel cooking it up on the other side. Not Mike McDaniel, Mike McDonald on the other side cooking it up, knowing that in all likelihood, Laramie Tunsil, even if he plays, is severely compromised. And that the Commanders have struggled on the right side, obviously. They're not going to be able to run the ball, probably. Jaden probably isn't 100%. Don't know for sure. No Terry McLaurin. Deebo Samuel, if he plays, which I assume he will, is less than 100%. Hasn't looked really good in 3 weeks. Yeah. Hasn't looked good since the end of the Chargers game. Yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Meanwhile, Thursday night football tonight, Ravens-Dolphins. As you know, the Dolphins game, or the Dolphins are, first of all, they won in Atlanta last Sunday with no Penix, no London, Kirk in Atlanta's defense, horrible. No running game. They shut down Bijan Robinson. So everybody now wonders, hey, are they going to be able to shut down Derrick Henry? I think the answer to that is probably no. I would venture a guess that Derrick Henry is going to see pay dirt at some point tonight. I would venture to guess, I put in a couple of prop bets, that Derrick Henry goes for, I would imagine, 85, 90 yards, somewhere in that range, maybe more. Maybe a touchdown or two. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Dolphins playing that well defensively, two games in a row, especially with 4.5 days in between. I do have a little bit more confidence in the Ravens' defense being able to control Tua, Jalen Waddle, and the Dolphins' offense. This game is kind of hard to figure out, though, because, again, I gave the Dolphins really no shot last week. I thought the Ravens were in big-time trouble against the Bears, and both teams won. So now, 4.5 days later, how do you process it? What do you expect? What happens? Oh, and by the way, Lamar's coming back tonight. Now, again, for those of you that still really care about the nitty-gritty of football, it gives you an opportunity to see a Dolphins team. If you haven't seen much of them this year, upcoming opponent in a couple of weeks in Madrid. That being said, there is nothing that we can take from week to week in the NFL. Nothing. Nothing. For the Bears to look as bad as they looked last Sunday, for Caleb Williams to be as bad as he was, Ben Johnson butchering the clock, Bears defense against a third-string quarterback, blah. Blah! And the Ravens won by, what, 17? In a game that I thought it was incredulous, even with Lamar supposed to be back, that they were favored by 6.5. That turned out I was wrong. Vegas was right. Well, they weren't right, but they were more right than I was. And I'll raise my hand. I thought that was a fishy line. I thought, no way. Now, I didn't know Drake London was going to be out when I made the pick, but I had Atlanta minus the 7.5 against Miami. There was no way with Tua being benched the week before, no way they were going to come out against that aggressive defense and light up the Atlanta Falcons. Again, I was wrong. So who knows what to expect tonight? I mean, the one thing we can expect is Lamar Jackson's back. Everything else is on the table. No idea who's going to win the game. No idea. If I had to lean one way, it would be Baltimore. But that's a soft lean. I mean, I'm hoping for it to be a good game. If it's a bad game, I'm going to bed. Oh, wait. I got to watch the Wizards in Oklahoma City. Sure to go well. How many points do we think the Wizards are going to give up tonight?
132.
With Bilal Coulibaly back for the first time?
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
Against Oklahoma City, you don't think they're going to pop the upset?
No.
I wonder what the money line is for the Wizards to win outright tonight
now,
in OKC.
Do you want the Wizards to win?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know you're gonna. I know you disagree with that. Without even talking to you about it, I know you disagree with that. Just like Linnell very much vehemently disagrees with it, and a lot of Wizards fans or so-called Wizards fans disagree with it. They want them to tank. They want them to lose every game possible.
I will say,
I can't operate like that.
Because this game, the last 2 days, has been playing at this time for us.
Very, very, very disappointing.
Because you talked about how if you go to blowing leads like that, you can't do. I don't care if you're going to win 18 games in the year. You can't do it.
Yeah. Especially without Embiid down the stretch.
Like, come on.
Back-to-back nights. Now, they didn't have Koulibaly. But, yeah. That was a bad loss. That was a bad loss. I mean, the meaning of... Like, I think what they were trying to say, those that got after me about me calling it a bad loss, is no. Every loss is good because it gets them one step closer to the lottery and the number one pick and all the exciting talent that's coming out. Now, if this draft is as good as they say, I don't know if you need the number one pick, but you'd like the number one pick to control who you want to pick. But it's a bad loss when you blow in, I think, a 17-point lead entering the fourth quarter and so on and so forth. So we'll see what happens tonight. But no World Series tonight. Wizards, no Caps. Thursday night football, we'll see. All right, let's get to a final trending alert right here, right now. All right, indeed, it is a Thursday night football extravaganza, or whatever you want to call it, about the Dolphins and the Baltimore Ravens. No radio coverage tonight of the game because Baltimore Ravens are involved. So you'll have to watch it on Amazon Prime with Al and Kirk. 8:15, the kickoff. Mike McDaniel's Miami Dolphins off the upset win in Atlanta. John Harbaugh and the Baltimore Ravens off of that blowout win over the Chicago Bears. Meanwhile, the Commanders out on the practice field earlier this afternoon will await the official injury report, but Laremy Tunsil was spotted on the side practice field, or I should say on the practice field at the beginning of practice. We don't know the extent of what his practice load would be. Jaden Daniels expected to be a full go all week. He was hopping around. As we talked about, the Commanders, of course, with Terry McLaurin already ruled out for the game, and Dan Quinn, as we mentioned, not going to be adding a receiver. The trade deadline is Tuesday, November 4th, coming up in less than a week. From college football, Matt Rhule staying at Nebraska, we think, signing a 2-year extension, $15 million buyout if he were to leave at the end of this year. And from the NBA, Mark Walter has been approved as the new majority owner of the Los Angeles Lakers. He is about to close on the deal. It is said to be worth a $10 billion valuation, and that's what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a feeling that the Wizards are going to lose this game that we're watching. What do you think?
I hope not. Last 2 days, I've been hoping it's not true.
Yeah. I got a feeling that tonight's not going to be a good night either. Just teasing. Hopefully, they come up with a little bit of an inspired effort. I do think they're playing a little bit better. Not defensively, but Alex Sarr went off the other night. Woo. How about the Lakers getting sold to Mark Walter, billionaire businessman? $10 billion valuation.
You think he's got a nice yacht?
I would think so. I would think so. He's the controlling owner of the Dodgers as well. And now going to be the controlling owner of the Lakers. I mean, we all thought Steve Ballmer, right, and his $2 billion purchase of the Clippers 6-7 years ago was like the bee's knees. Nope. No chance, man. Now, again, I don't know if $10 billion valuation means that the actual sale price is $10 billion. You know, that's what they value the team at. I'm not sure exactly what the final price is going to be. But they're saying the $10 billion valuation and purchase of the Lakers. So I maybe that's the final price. I don't know. But it shatters the record set for the Boston Celtics, which was just this past summer at $6.1 billion. So think about it. Josh Harris bought, along with his investment group, the Commanders, for, what was it, $6.05 billion or whatever? And, you know, there was a lot of talk, I mean, like up until, you know, that morning that they couldn't get the financing and the money and the this, and they couldn't finalize the deal, and he was sweating it out, and blah, 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 blah. Right now, he owns the Philadelphia 76ers and the New Jersey Devils and a soccer team, and, you know, so he's got his money elsewhere. But this guy, Mark Walter, owns the Dodgers and now is finalizing a $10 billion purchase. They own the Sparks, the Billie Jean King Cup, whatever that is. I mean, obviously it's tennis. A Cadillac Formula One team. A professional women's hockey league team. And he's the part owner of Chelsea FC in the EPL.
What else is left? A cricket team?
I mean, the only thing that I could think of that he doesn't own is an NFL team, right? I mean, could you possibly have any more money if you spend $10 billion on the Lakers and whatever the Dodgers cost you and whatever all that other stuff costs you? I mean, I guess. God, I mean, unbelievable. Apparently, Jeannie Buss, you know, I've heard this, Jeannie Buss is going to remain in her role, overseeing day-to-day operations for the foreseeable future. The Buss family, which owned the Redskins at one point, right, retains a minority ownership in the stake of the team, not more than 15%. It's just unbelievable. I mean, the amount of money, the amount of investment, right? It's just crazy. I mean, just insane. Now, the Buss family, Jerry, late Jerry, bought the Lakers, the LA Kings, and the LA Forum from Jack Kent Cook. $67.5 million at one point. Bought an NHL team, an NBA team, and an arena for $67.5 million. I mean, it's just nuts. Just insane. All right, we're going to step aside. I was going to get into a couple other things, but I want to really run late. Dumb of the day next, and then Burgundy and Gold today with Linnell Willingham coming up. Stay tuned. All right, I rarely wade into these waters, but I couldn't resist when I saw the headlines screaming out. You guys know the Royals, the royal family, so prestigious, so pristine. Never, ever, ever do anything wrong. Let's have our tea and crumpets at 4 o'clock. Well, Prince Andrew is a goner. No, he's still very much with us, but he's a goner. Prince Andrew is no longer Prince Andrew. Buckingham Palace announced today that he will have to move out of his Royal Lodge home. He is no longer considered Prince Andrew. the son of the late Queen of England will have his title stripped and will now simply be known as Andrew Mountbatten, Windsor. That's his name. He is no longer referred to as Prince Andrew. He can no longer stay in his home. He's being stripped of his prince title. He's also forced to vacate a taxpayer-subsidized royal home. Oh, I guess that's the home, but it was taxpayer-subsidized. As there were fresh allegations of his connection to Jeffrey Epstein. You know what that was all about? We don't have to necessarily go down there. But there was renewed interest, renewed investigation. He said they had cut off communication, and here, Prince Andrew goes from being the, I don't know if I could say that. Prince Andrew goes from being on the top shelf, man, to I'm sure he's got to sling it in a one-bedroom apartment, right? Nah, actually not. He's moving into a property on Sandringham Estate, which is privately funded by King Charles. So don't worry, Prince Andrew, who's no longer Prince Andrew, he's still going to be living very princely. And that, because he ruined all that to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein of all people, that gets you, my friend, a little dum-dum of the day-age. And that gets you the end of the show, which maybe for some of you, you might like. Congratulations to the Nationals on hiring a new manager. We talked about that for the first hour and 20 minutes or so, maybe hour and a half of the show. If you missed any of that great conversation, please check out the podcasts on the Spotify, Apple Podcast feed, or on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Wes on the other side of the glass. Thanks to you, Linnell Willingham, up next. Have a great Thursday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.